there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. We're presented by BetMGM. I was pointing right here. Now I point back there as he has arrived safely, hopefully, there in New Jersey. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Good morning, Patrick. Yes, good afternoon. I'm back. It was an uneventful trip. Got to see a little bit of the Boston-Milwaukee game. I've been reprimanded by my NBA folks saying that we've overvaluated Boston because they don't have enough offense, but we'll leave that on the side burner. The big news of the day, I finished a gentleman in Moscow on the plane.
somewhere over
Iowa, I finished it, and it let me thinking the entire trip all the way through.
I got in so many Reddit holes to understand exactly what happened. It's a brilliant book. It really is. I'm glad you had a chance to finish it up. Yeah, and I was thinking about you because you didn't have a chance to watch the games. Of course, the Bucks, a straight up 101-89 winner there. They were catching 4.5, 5, and a win on Boston's home court. So they rip home court. And then one of the most entertaining games I've watched in years. I don't know if you had a chance at all to see it. Warriors-Grizzlies. It couldn't have been more entertaining for a multitude of reasons. I mean, Draymond getting kicked out before the half, lead changes, Klay with a big three, missing. I mean, Michael, it was about as entertaining as a game could be. Of course, the Warriors, 117-116 winners at the Grizz. They don't cover the 2.5, but they do pick up the win and home court.
I got a feeling that this is going to be more of a money line play game series. Don't you feel that way? I mean, we know that the Warriors have that great ability to come back, and even when they don't play well, they can still, I mean, look, the second half on how they scored in the second half and what they were able to get accomplished is to me what the Warriors are all about. And so, you know, Patrick, you're not allowed to get good players in the second round. Jordan Poole, you know, 31 points last night, really plays so well. So, you know, I think this is going to be back and forth. I think the Grizz are going to win two games, but I just think the Warriors know how to close these games out.
So to your point, and I think it's a really good one to bring up right now for new bettors, the Warriors closed 2.5. A couple shops, they closed 3, but let's call it 2.5. And the money line was 130. I actually bet the Warriors on the money line. So I paid with the 110 juice on the 2.5. I paid an extra 20 cents on the dollar. And the whole entire game, I was so thankful I did, because if the Warriors were going to win it, it was going to be by a point or two, the way that game was going. So you felt good kind of mitigating your loss there if you were on the Warriors money line as opposed to taking the spread.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, look, sometimes you just got to weigh that 20 cents. You're buying that 20 cents is really what you're buying. You know, you're buying that you're buying 2.5 points for 20 cents is really what you're doing.
Yep.
And it leaves you at least like you did. You were more comfortable. All you were rooting for was a W. I mean, if it's 180, you're not doing it, right? But if it's 130, I think there's a margin there. You got to do it.
So I don't know if you saw the Draymond flagrant 2, which was called. So he was ejected. Probably should have been a flagrant 1. But I'll tell you this, Michael, after Draymond goes out, Golden State got very creative with their small ball lineups, and Gary Payton Jr., who's a tremendous athlete, he was guarding Ja Morant at times. So at times they had Gary Payton Jr., 6'3", Jordan Poole, small, obviously smaller, Steph, Clay, and then throw in a big, but they were going small. And it really was interesting because offensively there was so much ball movement, whereas sometimes Draymond can bog it down because they'll sag off of him because he's not going to shoot it. I thought the Warriors in the second half, because they were down 13 in the first half, I think they were down 6 or 7 at the break, and really showed something coming back without one of their defensive stalwarts and Draymond Green.
Well, that's the thing when you have, like, that's really when you know you're a good NFL team, is it, because NFL and NBA are very similar in terms of matchups, and you can learn a lot from studying the NBA. But you, when you have multidimensional players, players that can play multiple positions and guard different players or attack different players within the scheme, you're just not a slot corner. When you're an offensive lineman and you can play all five positions, that's when you've got a good team, because what happens is now you can adjust your game out. You can adjust the game plan. You're not stuck playing one way. And when you get one-dimensional players, which obviously the Warriors don't have to a degree, they're not stuck playing one way.
It was you're going to love game two. This series is going to go long. Of course, the Warriors with home court now winning on Memphis's court. Bane and Brooks were bad from the field, but the team is so young and so athletic. And one thing the Warriors did do is they didn't let the Grizzlies kind of get out and run, because you know they want to run, and the Warriors can beat you on the, in transition. They can beat you in the half court. They really did a good job kind of controlling the tempo of the game. It was awesome. And Ja Morant, he was so good in the game. He ended up with, what did he have, 34, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. He missed the layup at the end to win it, but he did a lot. And Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way, hit 6 threes. He was 6 of 9 from 3 and 33 points. It was just a great game.
He had 6 offensive rebounds. I mean, the key to the series is you got to keep him off the glass. You got to stop him in transition in Memphis, and you got to keep him off the glass. And, you know, when they get those second chance points, that's when they're dangerous. Because, look, I'll say this. I don't think Dylan Brooks is going to shoot 3 for 13 again. Mm-mm. You know, and I don't think Bane's going to be 3 for 10. Between the two of them, they're 6 for 23. You've got to have to get a better effort out of them. So if you're Memphis, you get out of game one, you say, look, okay, we lost, but we didn't play our best game. Our two best shooters didn't shoot as well as they needed to do. We just need to play a little bit better. Maybe they can.
And your key on the series is correct, and that is rebounding. The Warriors, with the small lineup, ended up out-rebounding the Grizz 51-47, but where you mentioned in specific would be the offensive boards, and it was tied up at 16s. So that's kind of the perfect equation for the Warriors. I would agree with you as we go into capping game two that the Grizz are going to shoot better, and I would imagine they'll have the rebounding advantage throughout the series. So your point is well taken there.
Yeah. I mean, look, Klay Thompson, you know, you could say it from the Warriors standpoint too, right? Klay Thompson, 6 for 19 in the game, Curry's 8 for 10, 8 for 20. So they didn't shoot very well. Of the 39 shots they took, they only made 14. So those two are going to shoot better. So if you're if you're Memphis, you're saying, look, guys, we got to play better, but they're going to play better too. We got to match their energy. And we've got to be able to control this, shoot better, but we also got to be able to play the same level of defense that we did against them. Those two guys are not going to shoot that poorly again.
How about Steph, the greatest free throw shooter of all time by percentage in NBA history? He missed a couple in the game in big spots. And then Clay missed two late when they needed him. It really was a fascinating game.
They missed 7 free throws in the game, Patrick. Yep. They missed 7. I mean, you know, and this is a team that usually shoots it well from the stripe.
Yeah, it was such an entertaining game. And that Grizzly crowd was way into it. So that was awesome. And then you back up.
They've got a great future. They really do.
They really do. And the champs are here. Yeah, I mean, the Bucks rip home court. Yeah, Giannis, you know, I wrote in my notes as I was watching, I'm like, KD is no Giannis, and that's obvious at this point. Giannis is the best player in basketball, but he just affects the game in so many ways, 24, 13, and 12. But how about Drew Holiday? I was texting with Will. He said, you know, Drew Holiday is the second best player in the game. That was pretty obvious, 25 and 10, because Tatum and Brown, a combined 10 for 31. And by the way, the Celtics made 10 two-pointers in the game. They attempted 50 three-pointers and made just 18 of them. It was a gross shooting performance, Michael, by the Celtics.
No doubt. And look, you know, when the Celtics, you know, like this friend of mine texted me today and said, look, you know, they're not a great offensive team. And when they don't shoot well, they shot 33% from the field. 33% from the field. And, you know, they took 53 pointers and they made 36% of those. So they struggled. And look, you know, they got to win with their defense. What was the over-under? Will Hill had a good call yesterday, 107 for the under for Milwaukee. That ended up paying out. So that was a great call. But Giannis, you know, Giannis is just different. You know, he's strong. He's physical. You know, I mean, he misses five free throws in the game, Patrick.
He lowers that shoulder. He lowers that shoulder, Michael, and you're done. You know, when he's going to the rim.
I mean, it's over. He triple doubles there, and, you know, and he didn't shoot well. He's 9 for 25, but he dominates the game. So, you know, what I mistakenly missed on the handicap is an elite player, even though you're missing Middleton, the elite player plays at a higher level than he plays at. And at Holiday, we know this. Holiday is really only two turnovers. The last time, you know, when he turned it over six times, that's when the Bulls were able to get in the game. It's a great win for Milwaukee. They wrestled home court advantage from him from the start.
It really was a great win. Listen, it's one game. This is I think these are two series that we saw yesterday, potentially could go seven, if we're being fair, because each team will make adjustments. The Celtics won't shoot that bad. The Celtics aren't offensively what some of these other teams, particularly the Warriors, are, but they're not going to shoot as badly as they did. So it'll be very interesting as far as game two, the adjustments made. Marcus Smart, the one thing I would concern me if I'm a Celtic is it does seem like he has a shoulder stinger, and he's the primary defender yesterday on Giannis. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out quickly, Michael. On game two.
And Javon Carter, I mean, we can't go without talking about how he played. When watching the tape this morning, I mean, he really gave him 22 solid minutes in there as the backup point. It was really impressive. I mean, you know, I wasn't counting on it. He was plus 25 in the game, Patrick.
It's one of those cliches we bring up, but that kind of championship experience and that medal. Look, this was a team that was down 0-2 in the finals last year and ripped off four straight wins. So there is something about those reps, right? And the Celtics The Celtics are a team that are a couple of years ahead of the Grizzlies, but both kind of built the same. Outside of Horford, it's kind of a younger team, and the Grizzlies are the second youngest team in basketball behind Oklahoma City. So, Michael, by the way, so quickly on the numbers tomorrow, they're mirroring what we saw regardless of the outcome yesterday. The Celtics are sitting 4.5 on the board, and the Warriors are sitting 2.5 on the board. So essentially the same as game one.
And the money line is pretty much the same on the money line?
Money line is the
same. On the Warriors game?
It's pretty much 130-ish. So nothing – the market hasn't really adjusted based on what we saw in game one as of yet. So that's where we sit.
Yeah, as of yet.
As of yet is the key. 4.5 Celtics, game two tomorrow night. And the Warriors, 2. I got a 2.5 on the board, but mostly 2s at Memphis tomorrow night as well. Okay, so – that's yesterday. But coming up in about, what, 7.5 hours? Michael Lombardi's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The 76ers.
Can't wait.
76ers in South Beach. James Harden in South Beach. That's a dangerous duo.
Where'd he go last night? Did anybody, you know, where was his iPhone last night? That's the question to figure out. Where was his iPhone?
Probably better chance with Millie than her own.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. It has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID and open an account. Start placing bets anywhere from here in Nevada. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. Got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-522-4700. Couple of notes. We've got the Derby Guide dropping in a little bit here. You can go get it now at VSiN.com. Also, your boy Sunshine and Andy McNeil has got his Stanley Cup playoff predictions throughout the postseason as the Stanley Cup playoffs start this evening with four on the ice. We got you back here. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. Yeah, we were joking about James Harden, who's going to have to carry a load down on South Beach. I wonder if Doc kept a tight look on him last night as we get ready for this. This is, look, your boy
Embiid. They even have curfew in the NBA? Did they?
They used to. I know for a fact that, you know, Chuck Daly used to have a curfew with the Bad Boy Pistons. Now, whether or not they obeyed it, I have no clue. So Embiid is out 1-2. That's for sure. Will he come back for game three? We shall see. But before we jump into it, big time favorites in the series for the Miami Heat. No surprise there, Michael. Tonight, it's up to 7.5 off the four. Let's just get your overview on the series and we'll jump into game one.
Well, it went down to, it opened at 8, you know, after the Embiid news came in, it opened at 8 and it's kind of gotten bet down to
7.5.
It has gotten 7.5. And Philly, you know, I mean, Embiid, look, the one thing about Philly that you can look at is Embiid's played more games. I think this is the most games he's played in his entire career. So, you know, and now without him, it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, when you look at this, Philly has struggled against Miami. They're 4-6 over the last 10 games. They struggle with because Miami makes them play a half-court game. They struggle with the defense of it. And so when Philly won on March 21st, they were missing a bunch of players. And they beat him 113-106. Maxi went off. But typically, that 113 score, you know, that's not typical of what Philadelphia has done against Miami. Usually, that's, you know, Philly's in the 82s, 95, 94. They're in that range. That's with Embiid on the court. So, you know, this has got to be a game to go under if you think Philly's got a chance to cover that number, or else, you know, then it's going to be problematic. And I just worry who's going to defend the rim. Who is going to be the rim defender? And Doc hasn't announced his starting lineup yet. But, you know, obviously it'll be probably Millsap or somebody that, you know, has a veteran that can't play, but he'll put him out there anyway. It won't matter.
Well, what about Bassey even? He's questionable. He's a game time decision as far as another big.
I get the sense from reading the tea leaves. I think he's going to be able to play. I mean, he had a shoulder that I think is fine. But, you know, it sounds like Doc's just going to use Reed and him to get fouls. So the problem is, if you foul this team, they're good at the free throw line, you know. And so when you foul, you send them to the line. And so it'll be fascinating to see how much he plays Reed and if Reed cannot foul out in the first half.
So it's a small sample size, but when Harden's on the court and Embiid sits, the numbers aren't promising for the 76ers. Again, a small sample size as I was digging through earlier today. But here's the question. As one of the great ISO players of all time, I guess turning back the clock because he hasn't looked like the Harden from a couple of years ago, you know, it's not just scoring. It's obviously the facilitation that you're going to need from Harden. What are your expectations? There's the player props. His number set at 25.5, and his assist number set at 9.5 for Harden.
Well, I think Maxey's got to be the difference maker, and he's got to be able to score. He's got to be able to take some of it. And his numbers, what is he at, 22.5? Is that his number? So, I mean, the book's thinking the same thing as I'm thinking. He's got to take the load, and then Tobias has got to be able to come in and take some of the load away, and somebody's got to make up the dominating. But I think more than anything, though, Patrick, what I'm concerned about is defensively. Who's protecting the rim? Who's going to keep it? You know, Bam is going to create some problems in there for them, because can they match up to him? Can they keep him off the glass? I mean, Philly in the playoffs, in the series, they ranked as the second best offense. They were averaging 120 points a game, you know, and so their defense was giving up 111 in the playoff run. So they've been able to, you know, their offense has scored at a higher clip, and a lot of that has to do with Maxey and Harris both shooting really well.
So here's the funny part. Miami, they're playing a little Belichick games as far as the injury report. Game time decision for Butler, game time decision for Hero, Martin, Tucker. So those, they're going to play most likely. We know that Lowry is out. But I guess, you know, if I'm trying to be pro 76er and looking at the Heat, you know, I guess there are some questions as far as Butler dealing with some sore knee problems, although he was very good in round one. So I don't know. It's weird that Miami's just got everybody, including Tucker and Strus, all listed as game time decisions when we know they're going to play.
You know, the guy that surprised me the most with Miami has been Tucker. He's played way better than I thought. I thought his legs were dead last year, and he's now back to hitting that corner three again. You know, and he's playing good minutes for them. I mean, he averages 28 minutes a night for them. So, you know, I think to me, he's been really one of the more effective players. He stands over there in the corner, and look, they're going to have to defend the 3-point line. They're going to have to make sure that they can test some of those shots, or, you know, if they get Hero going to go along with Robinson, it's going to be a real challenge.
So, in the 21 games with Philly, Harden's usage numbers right around 30%. You know, he was close to 43% when he was with Houston. Obviously, usage, ball in his hands, creating offense. Now, that number is gone as far as the 43 to 45 in usage with Harden. But I do expect, if you're looking at a prop, Michael, that 25 and a half for Harden? Did I just say we had that graphic up? Yeah, 25 and a half-ish you can find at a book. I do like that because he is going to get to the free throw line. I mean, he's going to get 11, 12 of those from the free throw line. And he just, this is 25 and a half for Harden on the points. I mean, this is a game where he goes into it knowing the responsibilities on him and the ball's in his hands.
And he's got to, you know, and he's got to be able to shoot better than he has. I mean, I think that's going to be the key, you know, and he's got to be able to offset this Miami defense, which has created problems for Philadelphia. You know, and that's the real thing. And look, Miami's another good team on offensive rebound. They rebound the ball really well. Philly doesn't rebound the ball very effectively. And one of the keys for Philadelphia, this is where it's hard to replace, is they're the number one team in getting to the free throw line in terms of that's where they get their points, whether it's Harden or Embiid. And without that in there, I think that's going to be the real issue. Can they do that? Are they going to be able to get there? You know, and then when Philly on defense, you know, who's going to defend the rim? You know, they're 14th in the league in rim defense. So we'll see how that works out. You know, it's hard to replace a guy. You're going to have to mix and match, and somebody's got to step forward, and you would wish some of these younger players were more experienced than they are.
Oladipo kind of popping in the first series is a bonus for the Heat as well, as they deal with some potential soreness to other players. By the way, good stat here from Matt Santos, the under 4-1 in the last five meetings between the 76ers and the Heat. They split the season series 2-2 with each winning two at home. But again, I told you yesterday when I dug through those games, no regulars were playing 1v1.
No.
So there's just
no, but I think what you have to look at, look, Miami is fifth in the league in points per possession, right? You know, their transition points per play, and that's where Philly has really struggled defensively. They're 27th in that area. You know, and so because of this, it's again, you know, they've got to be able to rebound the ball. They lose their best rebounder, and they've got to play better in transition. This is a tough, tough matchup for Philly just based on it.
So you're not bullish tonight. What about if I were to give you the seven and a half?
If there's going to be a game that's going to be close, it's going to be this one. The players, I mean, Harden showed that by being well rested the other day, he looked better in the game. With that extra day rest, he looked more explosive than he had at any point in the series.
Yeah.
And so you got to feel like this is going to be their best shot. You know, then there's going to be adjustments to this and see what happens. What if the Sixers will play zone? I mean, if they play zone with Robinson and Hero on the court, that could be really a disaster.
Well, at least you have a technician at head coach that can kind of figure it out as the game kind of progresses.
Yeah, we'll
Doc never been overly known for his in-game adjustments. So that's
no.
Maybe Nick Nurse has some time off. Maybe he can come down and assist on the bench. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, would love that. Nick would love that.
How about the total? 208.5 opened, sitting 208.5. Not surprised to see this one set low here.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, if Philly has any chance, the game's got to be somewhere in the 90s, right? Don't you feel that way?
Well, Miami's
and that puts
averaging
the under in play.
Miami held what Atlanta to right around 97 per. So you know the defense.
And they play Philly with Embiid. They play Philly well.
That's right.
Defensively,
I think you brought it up yesterday, and it was. That second line of defense without Embiid, those slashers, like that's going to be the problem. I don't actually worry about this. I think those 76ers will be able to score. I love Max. I think they'll be able to get creative enough there. It's without Embiid kind of anchoring the defense is where you start to worry as the game progresses.
No doubt.
And they just don't have well. They just don't have anybody to, you know, Bassey. But that it's not the same. I mean, obviously, this is a guy that's an MVP candidate. So. Are we sure he's back for game 3? What are you hearing?
With this, we don't know.
It'll be dramatic. That we do know.
Yes.
If he does return. Okay. Coming up next, let's see. Who do we have? Oh, TG is going to join us here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
VSiN, spring specialist here for Kevin. $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer through the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here. Industry standard at VSiN and VSiN.com. Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Bodtoble best bets all the way through the NBA finals. Annie McNeil, Stanley Cup playoffs, as we mentioned. So get it now. Also, you get point spread weekly. It's all through July 31st for $59. So let us take you through the summer here at VSiN.com/spring. Michael Lombardi back in Jersey, settled in. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas, and we head out to Atlantic City, New Jersey, and say hi to Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. TG, how are we feeling on a Monday?
All good here, guys. Actually, just reading this Georgetown coaching drama that's going on there. But
Fill us in.
Georgetown, they fired the two assistant coaches instead of Patrick Ewing.
That was
at the
problem.
End of the season, right?
That was the problem.
Yeah, so they hired two, Nickelberry, one of them, Kevin Nickelberry out of LSU. But now they have this shadow assistant coach who is named Jordan Brooks. Now, they've made no official announcement saying that he's on the coaching staff with Georgetown. And if you look at his Twitter and you know his social media, he's still listed as a director of recruiting at Xavier and still a coach with Xavier. But yet he's recruiting kids for Georgetown and failing miserably. I think he's tried to recruit three now, and they've whiffed on all three. But now there's talk of, well, is this guy just recruiting these kids kind of as a rehearsal to try to get a job on the Georgetown coaching staff? It's a mess there. It really is.
Not that you're bitter. That's called multitasking, coaching at two different schools, apparently. Hey, and like Michael said, they figured it out. The reason for one of the worst seasons of all time in Georgetown history was those two assistants, right?
No doubt.
That was the reason. That was it.
I can get Will Hill down there. He's doing 32 NBA teams. He's got 32 NFL teams. I mean, what's one more if you're Will Hill? He can go run the Georgetown program. What's one more?
I think we do. I think we need Will there, and just give him the director of recruiting title there.
Yeah, he can handle that.
He'll coach them all.
We'll ask him. He's coming up next. Okay. The Thomas Gable, 7.5 at Miami with the 76ers. Is that where you're sitting right now?
Yeah, it's come down here. We've taken some Sixers money. We shot up to 8.5 there after the Embiid news came out. I mean, it opened 4.5. I think it was low as 3.5, and then when the Embiid news hit, we went up to – we actually moved 5 points off of that, and we have enough $6 million money at the moment at 8.5, so we'll went back to 7.5 right now. But, yeah, it's the total has fluctuate a little bit between 207, 208, but that's right at 208 now. And, you know, this is this game, I think, is the game that if the Sixers without Embiid can steal one, this is it. No Kyle Lowry. We'll see Harden hopefully is rested. Hopefully he wasn't out clubbing in Miami last night. You never know with that guy. But bottom line is you're not going to see the 2018 or 2017 version of James Harden show up here. So you're going to need to use what you have and hope that the supporting cast at this point with Maxey and Harris can step up, and hopefully Danny Green can also have a good shooting night from three, because that's going to be the only way the Sixers can win. And Michael, I know you and I were talking about this in the last game against the Raptors. The Sixers look so much better when they are able to push the ball and get out in transition. When they get into this half-court set, it just looks so stagnant at times. And with this smaller lineup, I think it's going to favor them to be able to do that. And that's going to be the way to pull off any sort of victory here against the Heat, is to make sure that they can convert in transition and get out there and run.
They have to. I mean, when they get into that Tobias Harris and dribble, 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 back down, back down, back down. I was sitting next to Femi, and I'm like, this is the worst. You know, this what they can't do. And if they do that against, if they did against Miami, they won't score 90 points. So yeah, I agree with you. They have to use their athleticism, and they've got to run. And that's got to get Maxey in the open floor and try to get some easy baskets.
Kind of like Jordan Poole yesterday. Maxey's got the same type of speed as Poole. Get it out and let them go and get to the free throw line if you have to. But that's, I totally agree with both of you on that. The other series, the Mavs at the Suns, a little shorter on the number. I got 5.5 with Phoenix laying it. Where are you?
Yes, currently 5.5. That's come down from the opener, 6.5. The total has moved up 2 points from where we opened it. So now sitting at 214.5 here for game one. And, you know, I think we need to start with the series. Let's start with this. The Mavs, they were able to win against the Jazz without Luka for a couple games there, and now they have him back. And you look at the numbers for Luka for his first 16 career playoff games. He's shooting 49%. He's averaging 32.7 points per game, 9.1 rebounds, 8.8 assists per game. And it probably was a blessing in disguise for Dallas to play without Luka in that Jazz series for a few games, as it gave them confidence and other guys stepped up. And now they have this really tough test here in Phoenix, who I believe have the ability, more so than any other team in the West, to limit what Luka does. You know, they have a number of options on ball to defend him. They're great at scrambling to recover if they overcommit to him, but you figure Bridges is primarily going to be the guy that it falls on to defend Luka. And although it would be good to see Bridges and Brunson match up there with one another, as they were teammates at Villanova, that would be interesting to see. But I think you're going to see Bridges. And then you figure Ayton will also have to kind of shadow Luka on the defensive end to help Bridges. But those two are really good at working together. So I think it's going to really fall on someone like Brunson to step up here throughout the series, as the Suns really focus defensively on Luka. Someone else is going to have to step up. And they got that experience now against the Jazz, and hopefully it carries over for them. You know, I think the Suns, with the great regular season that they had, you know, they're $3 favorites here. I think that might be a little too high. The market might be kind of overestimating them a little bit, but you know, the Mavs, I think, could be game here in this series.
You know what's funny? I love the Mavs. I think that they've played a higher level than most people anticipated. And, you know, they do it because they're so good defensively, and they're able to, you know, to control the game and control the pace. And they have moments where they don't play well, but they kind of get it going again. And Luka's tremendous. But I think that the hard part about this series for me is Phoenix is still good on defense. I mean, their defense is kind of untold story of their team, I think. you know, they're third overall in points per possession. They're third in defending e-field goals. They do a good job on the boards. So that's going to be the challenge. Good defense meeting good defense, then that, you know, this is going to be a Spencer Dinwiddie. It's going to be Bertrand. Somebody's going to have to Finney Smith. They're going to have to score outside their comfort level in order to give Dallas a chance to win this.
Yeah, when Utah had nobody that could contain Doncic, like you said, Thomas. And Mikal Bridges, who's a tremendous defender, will be on him primarily. But they could also use Jay Crowder on him, who's tremendous. And yeah, like you said, Ayton to shade over and help. You both said it. It's going to come down to the ancillary players, I think, for the Mavs. Now, Phoenix has won the last nine matchups between the two. They swept the season series. Luka did only play in one of those games. So that, to be fair. 2 minutes left.
And I believe that they haven't faced them. Maybe I'm wrong on this, since they got rid of Porzingis. Is that right?
That's true. They were 3-0 against them, just three games this year against the
last time they played was January 20th, 2022, you know, and so they got beat and that team has changed dramatically since then.
Tough to use the regular season, as we mentioned, for comps coming into the postseason. I totally agree. About a minute. What happened yesterday with you at the book? Of course, the Bucks with a big win on the road and the Warriors.
Yeah, NBA was decent. I mean, any time that you have an outright favorite losing outright, and then the Warriors were unable to cover, but win, was a decent NBA day for us here. MLB not so much, but we had a good MLB day on Saturday. So, but I think the Bucks, though, they showed nobody was really taking the Bucks yesterday. Everybody was on the Celtics, and I think the difference there is just you saw finally a defensive effort against Boston, which you didn't see out of Brooklyn at all. Now suddenly they're facing a team that can play some defense in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think the Milwaukee, what I underestimate is their toughness and Giannis's toughness to raise. And obviously Giannis is stronger, more physical than Kevin. They couldn't push him around.
Will they bet the Stanley Cup playoffs at the Borgata there?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The playoffs, the handle always goes up for the playoffs. So we have some really good series there in the first round.
Look forward to it, Thomas Gable. We'll talk to you next time, Director of Race and Sportsbook there at the Borgata.
Thanks, TG.
Thank you, TG.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, the next, head coach in waiting at Georgetown, Will Hill, is going to join us next here
no
on
doubt.
The Lombardi Line.
Any school.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Never a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. My goodness, you can sign up now. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Either team scores a goal. It's pretty simple. You're going to win $200. $10 investment, $200. Anybody scores a goal, you use the bonus code VSIN200. VSIN200. Goal scored, $200 for new bettors. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Got to be 21 years or older. Again, $10 to win 200. Goal scored tonight using the code VSIN200 over at BetMGM. We are presented by BetMGM. It's the Lombardi Line here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome in our buddy Will Hill. New York City Cast can be found at vsin.com/podcast. And we were just talking to Thomas Gable, and Michael said your services will be used down at Georgetown as the next head coach. So congratulations on the new head coaching gig.
Oh, I didn't even know. Wow. That's news to me. Wow.
Well, I mean, Thomas says they're looking for more help, and who helps more programs out than you? I mean, seriously, what's one more?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Elliot Dirksen once said, a million here, a million there. Before long, we're talking about real money. Well, one more gig for you isn't going to matter. You coach that team up. You know, you got a little time off with the Lakers. You come back, coach Georgetown. You'll get it going. Don't worry.
Yeah, plus I like Gable, so I could fit some time in for Gable. Absolutely help his alma mater, get him back, restore greatness. I got to ask
you,
though.
It's not even his alma mater. He just loves them.
You're right. I get questions. I go to get gas. I go to the grocery store. People ask me nonstop, where is Mr. Baseball? When are we dusting him off? Where's the mitt? Like, what's going on here?
The mitt's going to have to come out here soon, because once we get through this, the NFL draft and the NBA, we're going to have to start talking about baseball, and start talking about betting on baseball, 5 innings, 7 innings, all that. Now they tell me, Patrick's just educated me, this is the balls, they changed the ball. Has there been a sport humidors that they haven't done more to hurt the game?
No, you're 100% right. There's humidors at every park now. But the reason Will brought that up, you know why he brought it up? Because the two New York teams have the best records in baseball, and he runs a New York podcast. That's why he brought it up, Michael. Yeah, I see that angle. How about the Mets? The Mets haven't lost a series yet. They're incredible right now.
As good as DeGrom is, they're flying. They don't even need DeGrom, which is just incredible to say. And like you said, they've played 7 series. They've won them all. Yankees, I think, best record in baseball for the, kind of a subpar winner they had. They're flying now. It's been an easy schedule. They played a lot of the Royals and the Orioles and the Guardians and, the Tigers, Patrick. But yeah, not impossible to get a Subway Series here in October.
We've talked about the importance of a manager. And Will, you and I have texted about it as well. Over 162, me and my friends have debated maybe a manager has a say in 5 to 6 games as far as plus minus win column, Michael. But Buck Showalter, who's there with the Mets, one thing he does is immediately instills a culture that is winning, and that over the long run he wears players out, but immediately he does win.
And the thing is, too, the Mets needed it. I mean, GM's getting fired for sending inappropriate pictures, DUIs. The Mets were a circus, top to bottom. And Cohen came in. Nobody's going to do more to win than Cohen. We saw today, Cano got $40 million to basically go away. Yep. In the past, that wouldn't have been a thing. They would have kept putting him in the lineup just because he makes a lot of money. And Showalter, I think, instills a winning culture. Yeah, they're well-run right now.
Okay. Basketball. Yesterday, you and I both, Boston had 10 two-pointers. I mean, they literally took 53s, and they didn't hit any. They hit 18. Take on that one first, and we'll get to Golden State Memphis. What do you got, Will?
Going to be a grind. Now, Milwaukee's got a chance here. We've seen this a lot. These teams win game one on the road, and they kind of mail it in game two and say, hey, we got our split. But if I'm Milwaukee, go for the jugular tomorrow. Go for the knockout punch. That being said, I think Boston probably wins tomorrow. It's 1-1. We're headed for a long series. But look, it's not Brooklyn. Boston was able to push Brooklyn around. Brooklyn's small on defense, not good defensively. This is a different Milwaukee team, and they actually did a pretty good job on Giannis, too. Giannis' efficiency wasn't great. It's just like you said, the Celtics couldn't score. I don't know how healthy Jaylen Brown is, because Jaylen Brown couldn't make a shot. I think he only got to the foul line once or twice. It was ugly. Like you said, Boston did enough defensively to win the game. They just couldn't make a shot.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's what you look at. I mean, Tatum 6 for 18, Brown 4 for 13. Brown had 2 free throws attempts, only made one of them. When they shoot 38% from the two-point area and they shoot 36 from three, I mean, that's not – the game in the 80s is going to be a Milwaukee game. They've got to find a way to score. I mean, I know Boston's great on defense, but that defense has to turn into offense. That's got to be the key. And if it doesn't do that, and then you turn the ball over 18 times and Milwaukee only turns it over 13, there's 5 possessions right there.
Will, how good was Warriors-Grizzlies? How good was that
fun
game? Oh my gosh. There's so many ups and downs in that game. It was insane.
Morant needs to get better defensively too. For all of his prowess, he is not good defensively. He was really attacked, and it's kind of a compliment to a player. Like when Tucker misses a field goal, how surprised we are. I was shocked Clay missed those free throws. I don't know that I've ever seen him miss like one free throw, never mind two.
Steph missed two free throws.
And Clay, you could kind of tell he was going to miss them, didn't you? I mean, he was kind of rattled at the line. He was rattled. Off balance. He looked shaky. That was and terrible job by the refs. For all the things we review, how you have that as a jump ball, I have no idea. It was clearly off of Memphis. It was a good thing Memphis didn't win that game because that would have been totally unfair because that deserved to be Golden State ball. But, you know, to win this game with no Draymond, Draymond gets tossed in the first half and you still can't win the game at home. Boy, we could be looking at a shorter series here. I would think the Warriors find a way to win this series.
All right.
There's no, I think so. But I do think it goes six, Will. I think the Grizz, at least they could say, look, we didn't shoot well. Now, we know the Warriors didn't shoot well either. But they're sitting there right there with a chance at a layup with Morant to win the damn game. And, you know, they didn't really bring their A game. So there's hope here. And, you know, they just got to continue. Baines can't shoot as poorly, nor can Dylan Brooks shoot as poorly as they did if they're going to win this.
Those were the two. Jackson Jr. and Clark picked up the slack. But Bane and Brooks were bad. 76ers Heat tonight at 7.5. Will, what do you got here?
I think this line's a little too high. I just don't trust Miami to really run away from anybody. Remember, like, okay, Embiid's hurt, but Miami's beat up too. Butler's dealing with a knee. Lowry's out. I think Strus is on the injury report, although we expect him to play. I think Tucker's on the injury report, although they expect him to play. It's interesting because Harden and Tucker, they played on those Rockets team together forever. I would expect Tucker to guard Harden. One of the reasons I like Philly, though, is you got 3 days off. Harden has looked, when he's looked good, it's been with time off. Remember, you know, when they first got him from Philly, he sat for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. When he finally played, he had some juice. Between the end of the regular season and the start of playoffs, he had some rest. He played well those first couple games against Toronto. I just don't trust Miami to, you know, run away and hide from anyone. They're just kind of a grinding team. Look, good, well coached. They're deep. The culture, all of that. But laying 7.5 with this Miami team, I think, is a little high. I'm going to take the points. I don't know that Philly can win one of these games in Miami without Embiid. You would need a throwback performance from Harden. I don't know that he's capable of giving it to you, but I'm dubious of laying the 7.5. I'll tentatively take it here with Philly, and I'm sure Lombardi agrees with me.
Yeah, I definitely. Oh, yeah, right. I'm taking Philly. You're crazy. How about Bam? What do you think Bam Adebayo's effect in this series is without Embiid in the game? How much will he control the game?
He should be able to because, you know what? I mean, look, Doc has kind of not tipped his hand here. He said that he's going to play all four centers, which I don't know why you'd play Jordan. Hopefully we see some of your boy Paul Reed here. But Bam has not played great. You know, he's kind of been settled for jump shots away from the basket.
He's hurt too, though, isn't he? Isn't he been hurt?
I think everybody's hurt. I think everybody's hurt.
Bassie's hurt. They're all hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know, he's got a matchup advantage. He should be able to control, you know, this matchup. And I do think Miami wins. I just don't know about the 7.5.
Okay. Mavs, Suns. A little shorter. Suns are laying 5.5, hosting the Dallas Mavericks. What do you got?
You know, it's interesting because the Suns passed on Luka, remember, in the draft 2018, but they've actually played pretty well against Luka. Bridges has done a good job. I think his length bothers Luka. I am contractually obligated to mention that Philadelphia, the 76ers, they drafted Bridges and traded him. Had to throw that in there, Lombardi. That being I'm impressed with Dallas.
They play Zaire Smith, though. We're really happy with him.
He's not even playing basketball anymore. Dallas plays five out. I think
down the 34th Street League.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. They got some opportunities to attack Phoenix because Booker with the hamstring, you know, Paul at 37, I think he's lost some quickness. I think there's some things here where Dallas can, you know, get some good looks, get Luka away from Bridges, whether it's through pick and roll or whatever you have to do, and stay in this game because I think there are areas to attack Phoenix. Now, Phoenix, they don't foul you, and, you know, Dallas doesn't get to the line that much to begin with. They don't get second chance opportunities. I think Phoenix probably wins this in six or so. I think Phoenix probably wins tonight, but I'll take the six here with Dallas. I think this should be a close game.
I like Dallas in the six too. I'm with you. I think Dallas will go after Paul. I think they'll make it hard on him. I think Dallas's defense will do enough to kind of, and we don't know. You didn't mention, we don't know if Booker's healthy. I mean, Booker did not look healthy in the last game.
No, that hamstring is still barking. I agree. What's coming up on the New York City cast, my friend?
Mike Golic Jr. breaking down all the draft guys from the Jets, the Giants. He did a really good job breaking down these offensive linemen, all the guys the Giants and Jets drafted. So VSiN.com/podcast. Check it out.
Okay. Thanks, Will Hill. It's a tremendous podcast. Make sure you check it out. Support our guy, Will Hill. He's bringing that beard back, which we like to see on a Monday.
Coming up next, the Honey Badgers, you will. Coming up next, the Honey Badger has a new home. Where will Tyrann Mathieu be playing? We'll find out when we come back and get Michael's take. Plus, we'll dive back into the draft. And we'll figure out exactly how these teams have played out and how the conferences and those numbers have changed. We're coming back with that next here, Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.